Thank you all. Thank you for the privilege again to allow me to, to come back to Macquarie Chapel and to be able to speak again from God's Word. It has been such a privilege. Thank you as well for your prayers during this time of unknowns for myself and my family, and very much appreciate your continued and ongoing prayers in that. But God is good. The Lord is good, and He is in control of all things, as we'll look at today in His Word. So if you have your Bibles open, I encourage you to stay in Romans 8. It's really important to follow along not what I'm saying, but what Paul is saying. But if I put on the screen this word, wait, I wonder what comes to your mind. What comes to your mind when you are called to wait? When is it hard for you? Sorry, I thought some things would come up randomly, but that's okay. Why is waiting hard for you? Maybe it's not. Well, I find waiting very hard. I want to just give us five examples in life of why waiting is very hard. I find waiting extremely hard because there's a lot of uncertainty. And with uncertainty, there's a lot of uncomfortableness, if that's a word. Knowing what's happening is one way we can try and bring order into our lives, isn't it? Today we carry this in our pockets, technology. I can click on anything and have information at my fingertips in a matter of seconds. And we've grown used to gaining information so quickly that it actually becomes hard when we can't get information immediately. So when information isn't there, we're left waiting and we're uncertain about that. And actually what happens is waiting creates a gap, because understanding what's happening kind of gives us a sense of control, doesn't it? But actually waiting exposes us. Waiting shows us that we're vulnerable. Waiting's also hard when good desires go unfulfilled. We're disappointed. When something really matters, disappointment creeps in. It really hurts. Think of single people longing to marry. Parents praying for their loved children to return to Christ. Families hoping for a loved one to break free from their addiction. You see, waiting isn't just about time. Waiting's actually about hope. But waiting is hard. It's difficult. But that's okay. Because when there's a good desire in our waiting, it doesn't mean that it's wrong. The hardness of that doesn't mean that it's wrong. But we know, as humans, disappointment can bring us down, don't we? And we often might say, why would God want me to wait when this desire is so good? Why does God want me to wait in this circumstance when there's something so good? The children's author, Betsy Childs Howard, she wrote that it's easier to stop hoping than to have your dream shattered time after time after time. When disappointment lingers, hope starts to fade, doesn't it? Waiting is hard, especially when the desire is good, and especially when we've been broken before. What about pain? Waiting's hard when you are in pain, right? Day in, day out. And pain can come from illness. Pain can come from disability, watching a loved one suffer. And relationships have pain too, don't they? There's the pain of divorce, the pain of a wayward child, the pain of watching someone close pass. Waiting for healing, for relief, for restoration. It's never easy when you're in pain. And often in those sorts of situations, we feel powerless, don't we? The unknowns and disappointments in life are moments when control kind of just disappears. And we like to imagine, we like to manage information, don't we? We like to manage timing in expectations and comfort. And when we can't, manage that, there's a gap that opens. A question that I've sort of reflected on as I've prepared is, when in your life do you feel the deepest need to have control? When in your life do you feel the deepest need to have control? What's missing that makes waiting such a struggle? But what we must see is that in all of this, that there's an opportunity. In our waiting, there's an opportunity. Waiting is hard, but we mustn't waste it. And the challenge isn't easy, but it's good. And actually, it's part of the normal Christian life. The fact that waiting is hard doesn't mean that we've failed. We need to acknowledge the waiting. We need to try and understand as much as possible. And we must turn to God in it. And so I think these are the first few steps that we must do as we learn how to wait and wait well. But I want us to turn our attention to the Bible. I want us to look at what Paul says about waiting. And did you notice what he links waiting with in Romans 8? He links waiting with adoption. Have a look at verse 23. As followers of Jesus, we are waiting for our adoption as children of God, which actually means that the entire Christian life is a life of waiting. Now, as good Presbyterians, you might think, well, aren't we already adopted? Aren't we already children of God? And the biblical answer is yes. For those that have put their trust in Jesus, for those that are following Christ as their Lord and Saviour, have been adopted. But however, what we are waiting for is that to be fully united with our Father in heaven. Yes, we have a real relationship with God our Father, but we're waiting to be fully united to Him, which means, to use the language of Romans, we're longing, we're groaning, we're hoping, Romans 8:25, for the day when our adoption will be made complete and we'll be home with our Father. So the question that I have from the text today is that, how do you not lose heart in all the disappointments, in all the uncertainty? How do you not lose heart in those moments of waiting? Or to rephrase it, how do you hold on to faith when there's pain, when there's powerlessness? How do you hold on to faith? Well, I think, like a good Anglican, there's 4 points, not three, there's 4 points today. And the first point I think we need to do, that we must remember to not lose heart and to hold on to our faith, is that God is sovereign over all things. God is sovereign over everyone and everything. And that simply means, sovereign simply means that God is in control of everyone and everything. He's in ultimate control. That is, our circumstances are never out of control. Even the hard things, not just of our own lives, but the things that we see happen in our world. And Romans 8 makes that very clear and very personal to us in verse 28, where it states, for those who love God, all things, not just some things, not just your own personal things, not just the things out there, all things, Paul says, work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. everything without exception. Even the worst things, God is working and he is sovereign over them all. And he has a purpose, right? He has a purpose, which leads us right into the next verses, verse 28 and 29. What's his purpose? What's the big picture? To conform us into the image of his son, Jesus, and to ultimately glorify us with him. You see, the passage is teaching us is that God is always working all things together for his purpose. And that's far bigger than just one thing. You see, sometimes for me, my problem is that I only see part of the picture. I don't lift my eyes to try and see the full picture. Now, I'm a mad jigsaw person. I love building jigsaws. During COVID, I radically built a 42,000-piece jigsaw puzzle. Yeah, 42,000 pieces. It's 8 meters long by 1.6 meters high. So if you have puzzles, send them my way. But obviously, with each piece, I can only see a small part of the puzzle. Sometimes God gives us glimpses into the bigger picture. But what you must remember is that God sees it all. He sees everything, which means that you and I can always trust that God is working all things for his purpose. And his promise is for our good and ultimately for his glory. So how do you not lose faith? How do you hold on to what we have? Well, we hold on by remembering that God is sovereign over all things. Secondly, remember that God loves us more than we will ever know. He loves you more than you will ever know because he's the Father who's adopted you. He's the one who loves you. And have a look at verse 29 of Romans chapter 8. There's a really odd word there. It's not Presbyterian, it's predestined. Predestined. It's the language here that God chose us before the foundations of the world. And in love, he predestined us. He chose us to be adopted as his children. We need to park that in the back of our minds the next time that we're waiting. Amidst the weakness that we feel, the challenges that we feel, especially today, is when we're tempted to give up, to lose heart, to lack faith, because we're longing, we're hurting, we're in pain, there's sorrow. But remember that before the sun was ever made, before the mountains were ever laid on the earth, before the oceans were ever poured forth, before a star was ever put in place, the Almighty God had his sights set on your soul. If you think about that, that really should knock you out of your seat, right? God decided to adopt you and he loves you more than you'll ever know. Psalm 56 is a really low point in David's life. And he writes, God, you keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one of them in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call you for help. This I know. God is on my side. It's profound, isn't it? When you can't sleep at night, God sees you. When your tears flow, God holds them. He loves you so much. And so in the waiting, never doubt God's love for you, the weight of God's love for you. Thirdly, how do you not lose heart? How do you hold on to faith when you're in pain, when there is uncertainty? You must make sure that God is the goal. That God is the goal. This is so important. The goal is not you fill in the blank. The goal is not to get married, to have a child, to buy a house, to have this disease or that disease cured, to have that work situation resolved. The goal must be God. If the goal is a change in our circumstances, then we're making an idol out of our circumstances. We're looking to this or to that to fulfill us, when only God can truly fulfill us. About a month ago, actually, it was the October long weekend, however long that ago that was, my daughter and I had the amazing privilege to climb Mount Kosciuszko and to see the sunset up top. We had talked about it for some time. In fact, it was her 18th birthday present. And it was one of those days that was picture perfect. You couldn't have asked for a better day. Clear blue sky, not too cold, no wind, plenty of snow. And the track just wound its way up, snow laden, and we chatted, we laughed, we stopped, we ate, we took photos, and most importantly, we threw lots of snow at each other. And finally, we reached the top, and it was breathtaking. I'd done the walk before a few times. That was the first time for my daughter. And you could just see in every direction. It was just stunning. The rolling mountains, the open skies. The sense of feeling so small, but yet just the wonder of God and his beauty. We read Psalm 8 together up top. It was just fantastic. But as I reflect on that trip, the view wasn't the best part. Yes, it was just stunning to watch the sun go down, but the best part was actually the journey. The best part was spent walking together, talking, sharing the experience. And as I thought of that, that's what it's like with God. The goal isn't about our circumstances changing, getting what we want, seeing this problem solved or reaching the next stage. The goal is God. It's walking with him, it's talking with him, journeying with him, doing life with him, in the waiting. Because when that view fades, and as it did, the circumstances change again. But what remains and what truly satisfies is God alone. God alone. In waiting, we need to remind ourselves that He, God, is the one thing that we need. We need him above all other things, above the healing of our bodies, above the end to hurt, the end to pain, the end of our struggles, above whatever you fill in the blank. We must and must want and need God. And we all feel our weakness, don't we? We all feel our weakness in our waiting. And we want things to change. That's natural. That's right. And we should be praying for those things, for sure. But we are limited. We are powerless. We are weak. And Romans 8:25 tells us that we can have a great dependence on God. Romans 8:25 tells us that we can wait actually patiently. The words can be actually translated to rest trustfully. I want to rest trustfully in you, God. In the middle of waiting, Lord, I want to wait with you, trusting, resting trustfully, because you will never put me to shame. I will never regret waiting on the Lord. I will never regret resting trustfully in the Lord. Make him the goal. And finally, how do we not lose heart? How do we hold on to faith in the pain, the disappointments, the uncertainty? Well, we must remember that God's not resting, God's working. God's working. Romans 8:26 says, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And as we wait for the Lord, he's interceding for us when we don't even have the words to pray. And as we've talked about, he's working all things together according to his good purpose. In other words, as I said, God's not waiting, God's working. And so I want to encourage you that because God is at work, don't stop praying with faith. You'll be tempted to stop praying. I'm tempted to stop praying all the time. I mean, what good is it to keep praying when I don't seem to have answers to my prayers? I've prayed this and I've prayed that and nothing seems to be happening. But never stop praying with faith because God is at work. Jesus says in Luke 18 that always we need to be praying and not lose heart. Why? Because God is at work. And if God is at work, then we can trust him. And we can pray with faith in whom God is, his character. And we can pray with faith in what God will do. And that's where this section of Romans 8 ends. As we rest trustfully in Jesus. And the question I want to ask you, and only you will know this with the Lord, have you put your faith, your trust in Jesus? And if the answer is no to that question, then I invite you this very day to put your trust in Jesus. Invite him, because God is speaking to you directly today. He is saying that he loves you more than you will ever know. Put your trust in him. Be part of his family and accept him as your heavenly father. And for those of you that have, remind yourself that in your waiting, it's not when, we're waiting now. In our waiting, when we find ourselves waiting for to be adopted fully into God's family, to be united with God, when we find ourselves resting trustfully in God, we can know that whatever the world throws at us, whatever comes our way, through pain, through trial and uncertainty, we can have the words at the end of this chapter of Romans 8. If God is for you, who can be against you? Nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing. Let me pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are so thankful. We are so thankful that you invite us to pray even when we have no words to say. You are at work in our waiting. You are good, sovereign, and right. We plead with you that you would walk with us in our pain, in our sorrows. Father, that you would be a great joy to us in these moments of great trial, because these sufferings are not worth comparing to the glory that awaits. So we thank you, Jesus, that you are with us. In his name we pray. Amen.